What a glorious hymn. What an encouragement. Can I encourage you to have your Bibles open with me? We're looking at Psalm 8 today. We will get to Hebrews 2 towards the end, but we're going to start and predominantly be in Psalm 8. Let's pray and ask for God's leading as we look at His Word. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Father, what a blessing it is to know that true and deep peace in our soul. Not through anything that we can do or achieve, but all because you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this peace and pray, Lord, now as we look at your word together this morning, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would change us more into the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray in his name and for his glory. Amen. Australia has a fascination for big things, taking particular items and building models of them that are magnified to a huge abnormal size. Travel around this sunburnt country and you can see an enlarged guitar in Tamworth. You can go and visit an oversized Ned Kelly at Glenrowan. And you can go and visit a magnified Merino at Goulburn, whose nickname, by the way, is Rambo. Now, these oversized sculptures and pieces of architecture, simply and quite uninspiringly known as big things, are now considered works of art. Some, like the big pineapple in Queensland, have even been heritage listed. Now, I'm not sure what your reaction is to these big things dotted around Australia. Maybe you can't stand them and you think them daggy. Maybe you're proud of them as part of Aussie culture. Some of us would simply drive past. Some of us with kids would have to stop. But surely the guaranteed reaction of everyone who visits these big things is this. No one in their right mind thinks that they are realistic. They are an exaggeration of reality, right? Pineapples are not 16 metres tall. The realistic size of pineapples is that they fit in our hands. Ned Kelly might have an elevated position in Australian history, but no one actually believes he was 7 metres tall. And we all know the realistic size of a merino sheep or the realistic proportions of a normal guitar, don't we? We all understand the true reality of each of these items and what their normal size and dimensions are. Now, as we think about Psalm 8 today that Duncan read for us, we'll be given an insight into the true scale of reality. The reality, the realistic dimensions of God, a glimpse into the true scale of his creation and the realistic worth of ourselves as human beings. And we need to hear this psalm today that orients us towards God's view of reality. Because in our culture, God is reduced in people's thinking, even to the point for many that God doesn't even exist. And as soon as the living God is diminished or treated as absent or non-existent, then humanity will automatically make themselves into big things. A larger scale version of God's actual design for us. Now, Psalm 8 is a wonderful praise psalm. Incidentally, if you're allowed to have favourites, it's mine. It reorients us so that we will see the reality of who the Lord is. And in light of who the Lord is, Psalm 8 helps us to see the reality of who we are. Now, David is the author of this psalm, and the overall focus of Psalm 8 is one of praise, praising the Lord. What is this psalm of praise to the Lord focused on? Well, David's praise of the Lord is focused on the reality of who the Lord is. So let's take a look together at some of these praise points. Firstly, we should notice that Psalm 8 is a personal psalm. David's not praying to some unknown greater being out there. This psalm of praise is personal. Now, David uses God's personal name, Yahweh. In verse 1, particularly in the NIV, which I think you have here, do you? Yep. In verse 1, we see that the first Lord is in capitals. You'll have to look closely. But that's the NIV's way of saying Yahweh. Yahweh is the personal name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. David knows who he's praising. This is a personal psalm. O Yahweh, our Lord. O the great I am, our Lord. What is David praising Yahweh for? Well, he's praising him for the majesty of his name, the supremacy of Yahweh's name. Now, built into the concept of a person's name is their reputation and their character. The Lord's name here is not just Yahweh, but also the inseparable reputation and character that goes with it. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name, your reputation, your character in all the earth. Now, this concept really is not foreign to us. Whenever we hear a person's name, there is an inseparable reputation or character that is attached to it. Our minds instantly play word association. When we hear a personal name, that person's reputation or character comes to our mind, whether it's good or bad. Actually, the same thing happens to every one of us. Our personal name is intertwined with our character and reputation. Oh yeah, James McFarlane, he's such a so-and-so. What springs to David's mind to describe the Lord's name? Majesty. Glory. Supremacy. The Lord's name is majestic because he has a reputation of covenant faithfulness. His name is glorious because Yahweh has a reputation of holiness. Yahweh's name is supreme because he has a reputation of unbeatable power. And specifically for Psalm 8, Yahweh is majestic to David because of his reputation as the creator of all. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic, how supreme is your name. But notice that David then talks about the area in which the Lord's name is majestic. Not only is Yahweh's name and reputation majestic in all the earth, but Yahweh has established his glory above the heavens. Look at verse 1 with me. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Now, last year, Tony Abbott was sworn in as Prime Minister of Australia. And when you think about it, whilst in government with his party, Tony Abbott will have a certain level of authority. But that will only be within the bounds of Australia. If Tony Abbott goes to France or Japan or New Zealand, his particular authoritative position as Prime Minister of Australia changes. He's outside his boundary of leadership and authority. Praise the Lord, David says, for his name is not only majestic in all the earth, but the name of Yahweh is supreme into the heavenly realms. The Lord is supreme over all that we can see as humans, but then the Lord is also supreme over the realms which our eyes cannot see. Praise the Lord, David says. His name or character is majestic, majestic in all the earth and even to the outer limits of the heavenly realms. And then the psalmist goes on to consider the power of Yahweh, particularly regarding his enemies. Look at verse 2 with me. It says, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, this is a bit of a tricky verse that gets disputed, but the idea is quite simple. The Lord is all-powerful. Enemies might seek to deny his glory or rebel against his supremacy, but the Lord silences any hostility. How? Well, it's not through strong people. It's not through powerful elements in his creation. The Lord silences any challenge through the mouths of babes. The crying of a baby, an infant learning to speak. Why these weak vessels? Well, because they point to the glory and the majesty of the Creator God. It's as if the Lord is saying to his enemies, you want to challenge me and my glory? And then pointing to a baby or toddler, can you do this? Can you create human life? Silence. Of course not. Now, we think we are clever, us human beings, and we are. But compared to the creational power of the Lord, we can't compete. So our mouths have two choices of response. If we seek to compete against the Lord's glory, then our mouths can only offer silence. But the other response to the majestic Creator Lord is one of praise. And David leads us in doing this, praising the majestic name of Yahweh, praising Yahweh for his all-encompassing supremacy, praising Yahweh for his incredible creation. David is drawing us in to the true reality of who the Lord is. So Psalm 8 gives us a glimpse of the reality of the Lord, majestic, supreme, all-powerful, awesome Creator. His supremacy fills every area of reality, from across the earth all the way into the heavenly realms. But friends, Psalm 8 also has something to teach us about who we are. What reality is revealed about who we are as human beings? Well, this may surprise you, but David concludes that humanity is really small, says someone who's 6'3". Humanity is really small. Now, we've probably all been in those situations where someone else has made us feel small and insignificant. Has that ever happened to you? No. Okay. Blessed art thou. Maybe they've laughed at your expense. Maybe we've been made to feel small and insignificant through criticism. It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? As David praises the majesty of the Lord, though, he is left feeling microscopic. He's feeling incredibly small, but as we'll see in a moment, not insignificant. And we are invited in to feel this with him. David is pondering the sky at night and is in awe of God's handiwork. Look at verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Now, David is not so much here feeling small compared to creation. He could feel small compared to the vast night sky. We can feel microscopic in this incredibly vast universe, which is made up of billions of galaxies, of which the Milky Way is just one. We easily feel microscopic compared to God's creation. But that's not what seems to be going on in David's soul here. David is not so much in awe of creation, but of the Creator. When I consider your heavens, Yahweh, when I consider the work of your fingers, when I consider the moon and stars that you have put in place. And it's in this context of considering the Creator God that David moves to this incredible realization about who we are to the Lord. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Now we might feel small compared to the majesty of the Lord, and frankly, that's right. And the dimensions of the Lord's creation easily make us feel microscopic, don't they? But David realizes that even though humanity is microscopically small, comparatively, we are truly significant to the Lord. And don't people need to hear that these days? People are searching for significance and meaning in a myriad of ways. Success, money, education, pleasure, entertainment, work, acceptance from others, we could go on. Part of this, part of their struggle, part of their search is related to them ignoring God. When God is at the center, we realize who we are. Incredibly small, yes, but wonderfully significant within Yahweh's creation. Now, I don't know all of you very well this morning, and I don't know what you're going through in your life at this point in time. Maybe some of you are facing sickness. Maybe some of us here this morning are facing uncertainty or deep grief. Maybe some of us here this morning are facing just the monotony of life, or perhaps worry or stress. Maybe for you, life is just going really well at the moment. But no matter what we're facing today, this psalm of praise to Yahweh reminds us of the reality of who we are to him. And you know what? This is not just comforting news for us to take on for ourselves. It's more than that. This is something that we can share with any person we know. Tell your family. Tell your kids, your grandkids. Tell your friends. If you are a woman or a man, you matter to God. If you are married or single, you matter to God. No matter what country you were born in, you matter to him. God has given us significance in who he has made us to be. Now, from an evolutionary perspective, human beings are often thought of as a little higher than the apes. And it's incredible how much I'm hearing that from primary school-aged boys in my position at Scots College. That's kind of who they think they are, a little higher than monkeys. But look at how the Lord has made us. Verse 5, you made him, us, a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. It's probably even a bit stronger than this. We've been made a little lower than God. Human beings are made in the image of our Creator. That's a sermon in and of itself, or a series even. But one aspect of being made in God's image is that we join him in reigning over his creation. Did you know that? That's what this psalm's saying. The Lord has given us such dignity and responsibility that we are to join him in his kingly rule over what he's made. Look at verses 6 to 8. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Now, on a Thursday afternoon last year, I was sitting at my desk in my office at that time, and it was a beautiful spring afternoon. Gentle breeze was coming in, the door was open, it was lovely. Great afternoon for concentrating. And then, a noisy minor bird flew into my office, flapping around, getting freaked out, and so was the bird. It was dropping feathers all over the place, flying into the corners of my office and dropping all the cobwebs onto my desk. The bird was getting so scared that I was sure he was going to leave his calling card on my desk, if you know what I mean. Now, that office that I used to have was not very big. And when that bird was flying around in there, I've got to tell you that I didn't feel very much like a ruler over the works of God's hands. I did manage to get the bird out eventually with my umbrella. Very gently, I got it to sit on the end of my umbrella and just out it went. It was all fine. Now, is that what human beings are supposed to be? When it says that we are to rule over the works of God's hands, does it mean that we are to be able to just control the animals? Well, thankfully, no. Humanity was created by the Lord to care for his creation and to enjoy it. But always under the ultimate authority and design that the Lord had imposed. So human beings are not meant to be environmentalists in the sense of just caring for the environment. We are to be stewards, appointed by the Lord to care for his creation in line with his direction and his majesty. The trouble is that humanity, ever since Adam, has sought to rule over creation without submitting to the Lord's rule. Don't get me wrong, Psalm 8 is a wonderful psalm of praise. It reorients us to the reality of the Lord's majesty. It reorients us so that we understand the reality of who we are, incredibly loved, incredibly significant to the Lord. But we must also consider the realities that this psalm does not speak about. The brokenness of our creation. From the first Adam, from the first Son of Man, we have wrecked the way that God has designed life to be. Instead of letting God be God, Adam sought to be independent of him. Instead of magnifying God, we magnify ourselves. Instead of caring for creation, we are poor stewards. Instead of getting out the telescope, like at Macquarie Uni shortly, we want to get out the mirror and ponder ourselves in our self-centeredness. Instead of thinking of ways to praise the Lord, we want others to praise us. Psalm 8 is a wonderful psalm of praise, and it's a wonderful hymn for us to join in with. But Psalm 8 doesn't capture the full panorama of reality. This wonderful picture of the Lord's majesty and human significance has been damaged through our sin. Adam failed to live within this reality. Israel failed to live within this reality. And we fail to live perfectly within this reality. And friends, the result is separation from our Creator. Judgment for our rebellion. And death. The wages or the result of sin is death. But, it's one of the best words in the Bible, but the majestic Yahweh, our loving Lord of all creation, has done something to restore the reality that Psalm 8 portrays. So we need to turn in our Bibles to one of four passages in the New Testament where Psalm 8 is quoted. We're going to look for just a couple of moments at Hebrews 2. To see how the majestic Yahweh is restoring creation to how it's meant to be. Hebrews 2, and we'll read verses 5 to 9. It says, "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place," Psalm 8, "there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet.' In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Jesus has come, the second Adam, born as a human being, as a son of man. He lived the life that we have failed to. He perfectly submitted to the Father. And in his grace, Jesus has died the death that we deserve, so that death for the believer has now been defeated forever. What's the result? Well, we await the new creation to come in its fullness. But you know it's already started, don't you? It started the day that Jesus rose from the dead. In the new creation, everything will be placed under the rule of Jesus, and he will fulfill the Lord's plans for the first creation. The majestic Lord being honoured and praised, the new humanity led by Jesus, living under the Father's care, and living in the new heavens and the new earth, free of sin and rebellion and death. Now, when we read Psalm 8 with gospel glasses on, our praise gets magnified. Not only do we see the glory of Yahweh, but we see the incredible significance that he has placed on us. Jesus becoming like us in the incarnation. Jesus dying for your rebellion and mine. And Jesus rising from the dead so that Psalm 8 might be ultimately fulfilled. When we read Psalm 8 with gospel glasses, we can not only join with David in praising the Lord, but look forward with joy and hope as the day gradually approaches when this psalm will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. O Jesus, Yahweh to the rescue, that's what his name means. O Jesus, our Lord, how majestic and glorious and supreme is your name in all the earth and into the heavenly realms. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, our only right response to you is that of praise. That should be our native tongue. And yet, Heavenly Father, we know that we fail to honour you as you surely deserve. Father, we want to praise you this morning for your incredible majesty, your supremacy, but also your generous grace and mercy to us in Jesus. We thank you for the way that you love us, and we pray, Lord, that you would be transforming us to be a people of praise, your praise, living in a way that honours you in your creation. Help us to be people who proclaim the Lord Jesus, the one who came and lived and died and rose again, so that we might indeed be brought back into relationship with you. O Father, we praise you this morning and thank you for your incredible grace to us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.